Good morning, everybody. All right, am I on? All right, well, I'm so happy to be able to share with you guys this morning. 3-day weekend, but we just do remember the sacrifices made for our freedom to be able to sit in this household tonight, or today, this morning, and just be able to be free. I mean, it's not only the sacrifices on the war field, but also the sacrifices all over this country, people young and old, small and great, and it's a blessing to be able to just to be able to be in America and just glorify God and just be a free people, be a free nation, the way God wants us to be. Amen. All right. So I'm happy to be able to share this morning, and it's an honor as always to be up here and be able to share with you guys what's on my heart. And this is something that God's been really speaking to me about for a while. And it's kind of, this is a kind of a sequel to something I shared a couple of years ago. And the title of that message was called We Are Mere Babes, and it was kind of a talk about the difference between childlikeness and childish, and but really about faith, humility, and the fear of God. And also, last summer into the fall, Scott did a series with the Sermon on the Mount, and it was great. And then Pastor Melissa shared with that, and also my wife Amy and myself. And so the last time I had spoken was about the narrow gate, which was about Jesus talking about the two ways, and it was so good. So I've been thinking, studying a lot about wisdom, and just really enjoying like studying the book of Job and Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. It's just this buttery goodness of just stuff in there. And these are kind of books that we kind of pull a little bit from, and we don't really dive really deep into. And so maybe the next time we do like the part two of the journey class for those who've already graduated, it'd be cool, God willing, our pastors willing, time willing, to be able to dive into these books of wisdom, these three books, and also how the whole Bible really deals with wisdom, all the way to the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, just sharing the wisdom of God with everybody. And it's really good. So today, that's what we're going to talk about, wisdom. And not the kind of wisdom that like Jedi Master Yoda's kind of wisdom, or Kung Fu Master wisdom, or the wisdom of the, you know, your great aunt or something like that. But this is the wisdom of God we're talking about. And this is something that's profound, and it shakes up our existence. So what is a child of God but a human being destined to be like their Heavenly Father? And so how do we get there? How do we get to that point where we are like our Heavenly Father? What's He trying to reveal to us? What's He trying to show to us? And it talks about in Ecclesiastes, it talks about how God created mankind upright. He created us from the beginning to be right, to be righteous, to have our mind straight. But what happened? They went and searched their own schemes. They went and did their own thing and really went off path. So let's look back at Genesis. And we all know this story. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" Now, we can't look at this tree as like a magical tree. And I think a lot of us growing up kind of thought of it like that way. But no, this is the tree of wisdom. That's what this is. So you see God, and He's placing these in the midst of this garden, two major trees in the middle of it. And you have the tree of life and the tree of wisdom, the knowledge of good and evil. And so this shows that all life comes from God. All wisdom comes from God. So this is what this is illustrating. And so we need to look at it that way. So think of this as the tree of wisdom. And so let's see how the woman responds to the serpent. The serpent responds. The serpent says, "You will not certainly die," he's saying this to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened." That means you will be enlightened. All of a sudden, you will have this understanding. "And you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And the woman responds, and she says, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." And then what happened? Both of their eyes were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together, and made coverings for themselves. there's a whole lot in here, but we don't have time to go into all that. But a whole lot just dealing with the whole tree of wisdom, the nakedness and all that kind of stuff. And it's really good. But the whole point here is to show that here you have mankind really disobeying God, because God was, he had a plan for mankind. He was going to raise them up the way they should go with his wisdom. But here you have this entity comes in here, known as the serpent here, this figure, this spirit being that shows up, and he's here deceiving and showing them, hey, there's another way. And there and here you have the woman, she sees it's pleasing for gaining wisdom, and here she's taking it for herself. She's disobeying God in this point. And so we see here that this tree of wisdom, which was given to mankind for God's purpose, but in God's timing, in God's purpose, in his own timing. But their foolishness was they didn't pay attention to God's rules. They didn't pay attention to God's message to this, and it brought disaster. It brought destruction. And so when we think about evil, let's don't think about evil being as like when, you know, drowning puppies and killing people and all that kind of stuff. Evil really is, it's just when you're forcing your will on other people. It's when you are causing destruction in that manner, where you are violating the order of things. You are violating creation in whatever way it is. So that's really what evil is. We talk about, see evil in the Bible, that's really what it is. So it's a great responsibility to possess wisdom. It's a great responsibility for mankind to possess the knowledge of good and evil. And was humanity in their young state really ready for this? That's the question. And the answer is no, not really. They weren't ready for that. And so that's why God had a purpose for them not to just jump into that. So let's get into the scriptures here. And the scriptures tells us, do not be wise in our own eyes. You see that in Isaiah 5, chapter 21, or verse 21, it says, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Looking at Proverbs 26, it says, do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them. And I like how the Apostle Paul puts it here. He says in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight, as it is written. And here he's quoting from Job. He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, and here he's quoting from Psalms, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So the wisdom of mankind has no lasting value. It is meaningless. And so what kind of wisdom should we be seeking? If the wisdom of this world is meaningless, it only gets us so far, it only means so much, of course we should be seeking God's wisdom. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
Amen. So Jeremiah chapter 9, it says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me. This is the purpose of God, y'all. That I am the Lord who practices, and I hear God, he's explaining who he is. I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, declares the Lord. So true wisdom comes from centering our thinking in God, in his ways. That's what true wisdom is. It is not on ourselves. It's not on anyone else. It's not on anything else. It is on him. This is where it starts. So we look back at the man and the woman, them listening to the serpent and saying, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this for myself. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to go towards my own schemes. And this is a problem with the world. It's a problem with mankind since the beginning. It's been a disaster. So Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So this is where it starts, the fear of the Lord. And we're going to dive into that. So like I said, a couple of years ago when I shared on the message there, I went really deep into the fear of the Lord and talked about a whole lot then, but I'm not going to get into that much today. We're going to address it, but not go deep into it. But if you want to go back and listen to that, We Are Mere Babes is the name of that message. But understanding here, understanding is the insight and discernment and the ability to apply God's truth. This is understanding. So this is what God's trying to get us to. So the fear of the Lord, also it says in Psalms 111, is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts, that's God's precepts, have good understanding. And think about what precepts are. We think about precepts as rules and regulations, but really the precepts here of God is these instructions on how to set your thoughts and your behaviors in the proper manner, in the proper way, in the way that is flourishing and life-giving, and that's on the right course. These are precepts of God. So the person who goes after that is on the right course and has this understanding of God, who God is. And then Job sums it up all in Job chapter 28, verse 28. It says, "And he said to the human race, he being God, the fear of the Lord, this is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding." So remember, evil is this thing that causes disorder and destruction, and just it violates people. It violates God's creation. It violates what is good. And it's about what you want and you forcing your own will. But those who fear the Lord, who go after this wisdom of who he is and what his ways are, you shun that. You shun that behavior. You don't think that way. So what is the fear of the Lord? What does it mean to fear God? And the fear of the Lord is the act of transcending oneself above the observation of and the perspective of what we see in this world, what we see in life. And it talks about this a lot in the book of Ecclesiastes. But you're transcending your thoughts above that, and you're seeing God at his, you're seeing from his perspective. You're seeing things from his ways, because he is the one who knows everything. He's the one who created everything. He's the master. He's the creator. He's the father. He's the first. And so this is the perspective we should position ourselves to. So basically, the fear of the Lord concerns proper perspective. Proper perspective on life, proper perspective on who God is and who other people are and who we are and what we're supposed to do. And so the pursuit of wisdom basically is portrayed by humility. So we can just bring ourselves down and understand that we don't have it all together, and understand that we don't have all the knowledge, you know, so to speak, because we don't. And understand that God is the one where wisdom comes from, where understanding comes from. And so this willingness is for one to want to change their minds, to have their minds challenged. And this is what God challenges us with. Hey, just listen to me. Let's go this way. Even though you don't understand it, listen to me. So look at God's wisdom as a way of navigating through life. This is it. So this is what wisdom is. So in the church, we talk a lot about love, talk about faith, but we don't hear too much about wisdom, which we kind of do because we talk about a lot about Jesus. We talk a lot about what Jesus talks about, what the apostles talked about, and what they're doing. They're talking wisdom. Everything that they speak about, Jesus and the apostles, they're talking about the things inspired by God, even from the books of wisdom, Job, Ecclesiastes, and Proverbs, and all these great things that God has revealed in the past. They're revealing wisdom to us, but we don't really dig too much into that. And so that's kind of where I'm kind of going with this morning on with this. So God's wisdom helps us navigate life by identifying the problems and pointing to the solutions as we live. And the wise are those who can navigate life well, avoiding all the pitfalls and maximizing on success and just going through this life, because life is not easy, right? Let's look at Jeremiah 10. It says, "God made the earth by his power, and he founded the world by his wisdom, and stretched out the heavens by his understanding." So it is by it is the wisdom of God that created the whole universe. Amen. It is God's purpose for humanity. His whole purpose for humanity was that as his image bearers, as the ones who were supposed to be over his creation and bring order to his creation, was to have his wisdom doing it. It wasn't to take our own wisdom. It wasn't to go our own way and have our own schemes and have our own devices, but it was to take his wisdom. Why? Because he's the creator. He's the one that made it all. He understands how things work. He understands how we work. How many times we look in the mirror and we're like, I have no idea what I'm looking at. Who are you? You know, what's going on? You know, why am I acting this way? Because we don't know what we are. We don't know how to act. We don't know what's going on with ourselves and stuff like that. But God does. He understands. So it's easy for me to tell you that, and we hear this all the time, but it's the truth. So how do we get to that perspective? How do we get to that level where we can see from God's perspective on who we are and who He is and do that contrast there? So God is this powerful and wise and good being. But we always tend to want His power and want His goodness. We always tend to want, okay, His power, we want His blessing, we want His healing, we want all that, we want miracles. And His goodness, we want, you know, we want Him to be good to us, we want Him to give us stuff, you know, we want Him to show us mercy and to give us 1,000 chances. But His wisdom is something that we don't tend to grasp a hold of, almost like a child when their parent. The parent's trying to give your child wisdom, you're trying to show the way they should go, and the kid does not want to listen. You know, they want to go their own way. They got their own mind. This is my life. It's mine. Don't tell me what to do. And it's like, look, I'm trying to tell you. I've been to where you are. You don't understand. It's like, I do. You're my child. You're just like me, you know. And it's like, I'm trying to tell you, don't go that way, because I did it and I ruined everything. So it's God's wisdom. He's telling us something. He's trying to get us. So this is something that we tend to avoid a lot, just like teenagers. We don't listen. And so God's trying to get us, look, listen. Get on track here. Okay, so there's three aspects of God's wisdom. So no one can truly be wise unless they fear God, that's number one. Practice living life well, that's living life skillfully. And third, know how to be a good person. And we're gonna break this down, but I just wanna list that out. So fear God, practice living life well, and know how to be a good person. And these are like really simple things. I'm trying to be very simple here. There's really a whole lot to it, a whole lot we can study, but this is Sunday morning on Memorial Day weekend, and we don't want to go too deep. All right, so the first thing is fearing God. This is having the right attitude towards God. So the fear of God is having the right attitude towards God. We're seeing Him for who He really is, and we're understanding that He's the one who has it all together. And we're understanding that His perspective sees the past, the present, and the future. He knows all things. He knows what's going to happen. So why not listen to Him? He knows how life works. He knows how the mind works. He knows what happens when you do this, this, and that. You 1 + 2 + 2 carry the 1, 3, 4. He knows the equations. He knows everything, how it's going to happen. When He created the world, He created mankind, He saw every scenario. He saw everything, how it was going to work out, how it was going to pan out, and all this stuff like that. When I was teaching the journey class, I showed a clip from the Avengers, and it was Doctor Strange, and he's thinking, he's doing weird things with his head because he's going through all these scenarios of how they're going to defeat Thanos. And he comes to like a million and such ways where they fail, but there's only one solution out of all that. And so it's easier to illustrate it than to talk about it. But the whole point here is that God, before He created us, before He created the world, He went through every scenario. He used His wisdom and His understanding to go through every scenario. Okay, I'm going to create children. I'm going to make them to be in my image, to be like me, and I have a purpose for them forever. They're mine, and it's going to be awesome. But there's a way I have to do this. And see, to us, it's foolishness because we see, okay, the world's the way it is, and everything's ruined, and I hate my life, and I hate my parents, and I hate this, and everything's terrible, and I hate the way I look, and my nose is too big, whatever else. It's like, there's a purpose here. You know, you're looking at it all wrong. You're looking from the wrong perspective. And so God's purpose, He figured it all out in the beginning. So we have to gear ourselves to trust Him and to know that He's the wise one. He's the creator, and He loves us. It's an amazing thing.
Amen.
Amen. In the book of James, his letter, he says, humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. And so this is it. When we fear God, we humble ourselves and we understand that He is the one who has it all together. We are to listen to Him. We have to humble ourselves and understand that. And the fear of the Lord leads to obedience. We begin to understand when we humble ourselves and we listen to God and we understand who He is, we become obedient to Him. We submit ourselves to Him and we understand that, okay, this is where I'm putting my faith. I'm putting my faith and my trust in You, God. Whatever the way the world is and whatever's going on in my life, You're going to see me through. Where there is no fear of the Lord, there is no wisdom. One cannot even go on the enterprise of life, of exploring wisdom, without the fear of God. It's impossible. So, like the scriptures say, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The second thing, the practice of living well. So this is, we can go through a whole lot of things, a whole lot of list here, but one thing that we have a challenge with is patience. And so patience is, you know, us having that self-control and not losing control of our emotions. And because when you lose control of our emotions, that's when we become ineffective. Our thoughts and our actions become all whacked out, and we don't think right, we don't think straight, and we do stupid stuff and all those kind of things. That's an unwise thing to do. So it's not just about, you know, sticking a key in the power slot and you be electrocuted and go, oh, you learn from that and you gain wisdom. Okay, I don't do that again. But it's more than that, because our emotions, we live by it. This is what we understand, this is what we know. What we feel and what we think, we just act on it constantly. But we don't have the wisdom of God controlling that and setting us right in that, we have a crazy behavior. So have patience. This is the art of living life well, is patience. Having self-control, that is telling yourself, I am in charge. You don't own me, you know? You tell yourself that, look, we're gonna submit ourselves to God's wisdom. Amen. Because he knows best, and the way we're doing things ain't working out, you know? Amen. So you begin to have self-control of, you know, what you're watching, what you're eating, what you're listening to, who you're hanging out with. And then maybe you shouldn't be doing that. And also maybe you should be listening to this and watching that and coming to church, of course, being involved in ministry and changing the world around you for the glory of God. Wisdom, using the wisdom of God to do this. You can't do it on your own. I'm up here teaching. I can't do this on my own. God help me. In James chapter 1, it talks about being slow to anger and being slow to speak and quick to listen. So again, this is the skill of living life. And so when you do this, you're living this life that's beneficial to the community around you. You're living this life where you're not like someone going around without deodorant sticking up the joint. You know, you have a wisdom to make yourself smell better and freshen yourself up and go out there and be someone who is beneficial to the community. So, we need God's wisdom to make the right decisions. We need God's wisdom to act right and to be right and to be in right standing with other people and be in right standing with God and even be in right standing with ourselves. Because a lot of times we battle ourselves because we hate ourselves. We hate how we don't like how things are coming together. We're always working so hard to try to one up on other people and try to get ahead. And, you know, we're, you know, spending all this time watching news and trying to get these theories and stuff like that and trying to get onto these politics and getting into social media and getting all into these influencers and what they're saying and all that stuff like that. We do all that and we're not even listening to God. We're not even listening to the one who has the wisdom, who has the answers. Again, these are easy words to say, but difficult to do. You have to practice this, because gaining wisdom is a practice, it's a lifestyle. The third thing is being a good person, the practice of being good. So it's about being righteous and practicing justice and being virtuous. When it all comes down to it, it's all about letting your character be transformed. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about when he's preaching. This is exactly what the apostles are talking about, is being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's about taking your culture and turning it upside down and saying, no, I'm going to take on the nature of my Father. I'm going to take on the nature of my God, because he's wise. He's got all the answers. That's what it's all about. So we cannot be wise without being righteous, because righteousness, and you read in the book of basically Proverbs, righteousness and wisdom are like interchangeable, you know. So to be righteous is to be wise. To be wise is to be righteous. They go together. It's impossible. And again, to be good is not to get points in heaven. That's not what Christianity is about. That's not what God's about. It's about you being like him. And when you're good, you benefit others and you benefit yourself, and it's a good thing. And then the wisdom of God helps us to discern and distinguish between good and evil. Good being that which benefits, which creates, which is harmony and is goodness, and evil being that which destroys and causes disorder, and you forcing your will and all your ways on other people and everything like that. But his wisdom helps us to see the benefit in good and the destruction in evil. That's his wisdom. So when we see that. So let's look back at the story of Job, just going through his story real quick. So you guys know the story of Job is basically with Job. He was a righteous guy in his time. He had great status. He had a bunch of wealth. And God allowed all these bad things to happen to him. And he lost his kids, which they weren't really kids. They were grown-ups. He lost them. His wife got mad at him and told him to curse God and die. And he lost his status. He got this terrible disease. And his friends are coming to him and say, hey, man, you must have blew it. You did something. And Job's like, I didn't do nothing. I worship God. I praise God. I fear God. I did absolutely nothing. And they're like, no, you had to have done something because God's, you know, he's just. And, you know, these things don't happen unless you've done something. And so that's the whole story of the book of Job. It's going through all that. Him and his friends going back and forth, going at it. And then Job gets to the point where, man, if I can just have a sit down with God and just tell him how I feel and just see that what he's done to me is totally unjust. And because I'm a righteous person and, you know, man, if I can just have someone who can just be in my stead before God. But I can't really say anything before him because he's God and he knows everything and he's powerful and there's nothing I can really do. And then finally God confronts him. And he tells Job, it's like, Job, okay, sit down and listen. Where were you when I created the world? When I set the foundations of the earth and set the heavens and all that stuff like that? Back when the sons of God rejoiced when I was doing all this? And you know, and who makes order in the world and who tames the animals and it does all these things and makes, you know, who holds back the seas and all that kind of stuff like that? And he goes on and on with this with Job and kind of explains all these things within Job's context, because this is what Job understands. And then finally Job comes to the point where he's like, God, you're right. You know, I don't know anything. I don't understand. And then Job gets to the point where the wisdom that he had before increases. And then he ends the book, he ends his saying, I'm saying, okay, I've heard of God, and I heard all these things about God, and that's what I understood, that's what I knew, and that's what I worshiped. But now I have seen God, and I have listened to him, and now my whole perspective on life has changed. And then the scriptures say that God restored everything back, even more than what Job had lost. And it ends with a happy ending. And so here Job allows God to talk to him and to show him who he is. And then instead of Job being like, no, I'm righteous. I got it all together. You did terrible things to me. I blame you, God. This is terrible that this happened, and I blame you. This should have never happened, and you're a horrible, wicked, evil God. But no, Job didn't do that. He understood, and he listened, and he said, okay, wow. And he saw God for who he really was, and that he understood, and that his wisdom increased. Because that's the journey. Our journey should be to always increase the wisdom that we have. God has given us a degree of wisdom, a degree of understanding, but we should always be increasing on that and adding to it and going more. Coming to church, reading your word, praying, allowing God to change you and to manifest himself in your life and your faithfulness to him. That's what it's all about. And so when it comes out to it, wisdom is basically the result of having a relationship with God. You cannot get the wisdom of God without having a relationship with him. You have to have a relationship with God. Just like with anybody, you can't know who they are unless you have a relationship with them. And so like what Job was saying, hey, I had heard about God, but now I have seen him. Now I know who he really is. Now I understand, though disasters come and things happen to me, I know that he is my master, he's my father, he's a lover of my soul, he wishes the best for me, and that what's happening in this life isn't all that there is. There is more. Amen. Eternity is a frontier before us. There is more to life than just this tangibleness of it. It's all about relationship with God. So when we're spending all of our time or most of our time listening to the world and the world only gives this feeble wisdom, this world only has feeble wisdom to offer to us, something that does not really benefit us. It becomes meaningless. It becomes futile. The other aspect is Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes, the writer there talks about everything under the sun. He has observed everything under the sun and has concluded that in the wisdom that God is, and this is based on Solomon. Solomon is the one who asked God for wisdom, and God gave him great wisdom. He's probably the wisest guy who ever lived, but he looked at everything, and it was like, everything is meaningless. And even those who are wise, bad things happen to them. And the same, in the wicked, good things happen to the wicked. And it's like all these things happen in life and in the world under the sun. It's all meaningless. But at the end of that, it comes to the point where you come to the above the sun perspective. So now it's like, okay, what's above that perspective, what we see on this earth, what we see in this life? See, this is that fear of God again. This is us saying, okay, there's something more. And so it's when God brings you to this oh moment. You say, oh. Just like what happened with Job. It was that moment where like, oh, you see it. And you understand that, okay, God is wise. And he understands how things work. I don't. I don't have it all together. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 seconds. But he does. And so when we get to that point and we understand that true wisdom comes from God, he is the source, that the proper human response to God's wisdom is to submit and surrender to him. That's what it's all about. So Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, begins with the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And Ecclesiastes ends with the fear of God is the duty of all mankind. So after surveying everything, the wise person, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it says, now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. That's what it's all about. Okay, so we can lose wisdom, though. Just like you can fall out of love with God, you can lose your faith, we can lose our wisdom. So we can think about Solomon. Solomon, again, he asked God for wisdom. God gave him this great wisdom, and he got wisdom, he got wealth, and he had all this skill. But he lost it. You know, he started going his own way, and too many women, really. 700 wives and 300 concubines is what he had. And then he just started doing all these things his own way. And he ended up becoming a bitter old man. And so he was like the poster boy for wisdom, but he blew it because, again, he didn't commit to God. He didn't surrender. He didn't stick with it. Another thing is the anointed cherub. We know him as, we now know this is the devil, Satan, who what he was before and became. But the scripture stated in Ezekiel 28, it says, you corrupted your wisdom because of your beauty. And so even this angelic being, before he became evil, this is how he became evil. He corrupted his wisdom because he wanted to do his own thing. And even with Adam, God gave him this wisdom. He's the first man. And God was going to like, okay, we're going to do something. This is going to begin with you. It's going to begin with you and the woman. And you're going to be my image bearers. And you're going to be stewards of all my creation. But they blew it. And so this is what happens. And this is what we see all throughout the scriptures. From Adam and Joseph and Moses and the prophets and all these, and King David and everyone, they all mess up. They all messed up. But Jesus is the one who held it all together. He's the one who's wise and didn't mess up. He was unique and holy. So following our cravings, our desires, and our emotions is not wise. This is what we got to understand as humans. Just because you feel it, just because you think it, doesn't mean it's right. Just the right thing. But we have to understand that those things will lead us to consequences. It will lead us to disorder. It'll lead us to destruction. It will also sometimes lead us to death. So don't trust your feelings, Luke. You know. So the Bible says, ask God for wisdom and he will give it to you. Again, that's from James chapter 1. I like this this quote from J.I. Packer. He was a theologian. He's no longer with us. But he said, the kind of wisdom that God wants or waits to give to those who ask him is a wisdom that will bind us to him, to himself, a wisdom that will find expression in a spirit of faith and a life of faithfulness. So the spirit of faith is like this heart of faith, this act of trusting God. And then the other thing is the life of faithfulness, just walking and submitting to the will of God. And so that's the kind of wisdom that God wants to give to us, that when we get to that state in our lives, in our mindset, that we walk with him, trusting in him every day, every moment, all the time. That's what it's about. It's just like when I get up in the morning, go to work, I just pray for God's wisdom. I pray for it all the time because a lot is on my shoulders at work. You know, if I mess up, it costs the company hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars or something like that. So I need God's wisdom. I need God's wisdom to be a husband. I need God's wisdom to be a father. I need God's wisdom to be, you know, to a minister. I need God's wisdom in everything. I need God's wisdom when I'm driving, you know. Shopping at the store, nope, don't buy that, you know. Don't eat this, you know, what I eat and everything like that. You got to have wisdom in all that. So that's what, really, when we're walking in faith, and we think about faith as, you know, looking for a miracle, getting that healing, and all that stuff, which is what it is. But really, when you come down to it, it's being conformed to the likeness of Jesus. That's what faith is. And so when you become conformed to his likeness, all these things come together. The miracles, the blessings, the wisdom, the walking above the tragedies of this life, it all comes together. Now in James chapter 3, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life and by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom," quote unquote, "does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice." So again, we shun evil. We shun that which is destructive. "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving and considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Amen. All right, so let's land the plane here. So let's look back at Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "God made the earth by his power, and he founded the world by his wisdom, and stretched out his heavens, and stretched out the heavens by his understanding." The power and wisdom of God is Christ. It is Jesus. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. "Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." So this is it. Christ is the power and wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is God. He's the creator. He made the earth. He made us. That's it. You read the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the first 18 verses talks about that. Jesus Christ is God. He became God in the flesh. And he came down, he dwelt among us, and he became one of us, and he lived a life like us, and he lived like a human being. Had his diapers changed, maybe had a skinned knee, he'd been picked on and ridiculed, had to poop and pee just like us, lived life, you know, he lived poor, he wasn't rich, he definitely didn't have what we have, but he was God, he is God, and he's alive. And this is the one we listen to. This is the one we follow. This is the one that we try and we work at conforming ourselves to be like. The same wisdom and power used to create the heavens and the earth is the same wisdom and power used to make us a new creation, a new humanity. It is Jesus. In Christ, we become a new creation. So God created the heavens and the earth by his wisdom, and he's recreating us by his wisdom in Christ. That's what it's all about. Jesus is the wisdom of God, and the act of Jesus is to bring about new creation. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, "But from him being God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to God wisdom to us from God, in righteousness and sanctification and in redemption." And in Colossians 2, it says, "In whom, as is in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So we listen to Jesus. That's where it all is. Everything that he says, everything he's taught, that's the wisdom of God. Everything that the apostles are teaching us in the New Testament is the wisdom of God. These are the things that we live by. These are the things we listen to. These are the things that we walk daily in and we meditate on and we get it inside of us, that we understand that his ways are above our ways. Our ways are foolishness, but his ways is wisdom. So in closing, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So again, it's about having that mindset about, and again, remember, Jesus being God in the flesh, before he's being crucified, he's praying to God that he understands what's coming. He understands he's about to be arrested, beaten, tortured, crucified. But he's saying, "God, Father, is there any way that this could be done any other kind of way?" But he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." That's a divine think. That's a divine thinking. And so again, this is seeking the wisdom of God, understanding that I'm seeing disaster ahead. I'm seeing a horrible thing ahead of me. But Lord, your wisdom, this has to be done because your wisdom is greater. Your wisdom understands that this is going to be a benefit. This is going to be a great thing. So Jesus says, "Fools build their lives on sand, but the wise build on the rock of his word." We read that in Matthew 7, from the Sermon on the Mount. And so he uses that parable of talking about how the foolish person builds their house on the sand. So when the storms come and the waves come, that house crashes and it's destroyed. But the wise person builds their house on the rock. Right. So that when the winds come and the storms come and the floods come in, that house is stable. He's talking about our lives. So in wisdom, hey, let's build our lives on Jesus and what he says and what his wisdom is and who God is. We build our lives on that. That's the wisdom that we're going for. That's the wisdom that we seek out. That's what it's all about. So we listen to that. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to go ahead and have communion. And going into that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And so Jesus used this as a tool, the communion, the taking of the bread and of the wine or the juice, as a means of remembering what he's done, what he accomplished, and casting our mind to that time where this foolishness of God became the wisdom that changed our lives, changed my life. It changed the world. And it so that's what has happened. So when we take communion this morning, cast your mind to that, understanding that it doesn't make sense to us why Jesus had to go to the cross and to suffer and die and all that kind of stuff like that. But God saw it fitting. This is how God confronted evil. This is how God confronted suffering, by taking it on himself through Jesus. And this is what we remember. This is what we partake in. Lord Jesus, we thank you for you being our redemption, for being our wisdom, and for setting us free. We thank you, God, that you see us, that you know us, and that you've made us, God, not to be slaves or robots, but to be your children, to be your people, to glorify your name, to take on your nature, which is good, which is wonderful, which is life-giving. But Lord, help us to understand. Help us to have wisdom. And help us, God, in every day and everything that we do, to be more and more like Jesus. And to help us to live this life and to navigate through it and to have the skill that we need to glorify you and to be stewards of your creation and to be prepared for what is to come, the age to come, after this age. For that's what it's all about. For we will live forever with you, and things are just getting started. Haven't even begun yet. But we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Have your way, God. Be with us this week, and Show us your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, will you guys go ahead and stand up? If those prayer partners can come up. And if you guys have anything you need any prayer for, anyone to believe with you about anything, come up here for these people full of faith and wisdom. Can pray with you and agree with you and all that good stuff. But as Pastor Scott always says, I just wish the best for you guys and have a great, awesome week. Stay true, seek God, and don't hurt yourselves tomorrow if you're off. All that good stuff. You guys are dismissed. Thank you.